The views expressed on this program are the views of the individual broadcaster and do not necessarily reflect the view of Wesleyan University or the WESU management. Hello, and welcome to Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a progressive-minded radio show about faith and action, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU, 88.1 FM, Middletown, and WESUFM.org, providing community radio that matters. I'm Maria Johnson. Today, for the third year in a row, we devote our first episode of the new year to the birds. I went along on one segment of the National Audubon Society's 119th Christmas Bird Count, the nation's longest-running community science bird project. At dawn, a couple of days before Christmas, a group of volunteers and I met at a diner in Stratford, then headed out to scan the skies and waterways to count as many birds as possible, so many different kinds. It was a magical experience. The count continues through Saturday, January 5th, so check the Audubon.org site for how you might still take part. I'll also post the information at the ReasonablyCatholic.com site. Speaking of counts, WESU is counting on you to do your part to support this amazing community radio station. If you haven't done so yet, please go to WESUFM.org/pledge or mail your check to the station's Broad Street, Middletown address. Thanks. Back in a moment with Frank Mantlick, the team leader of the Stratford-Milford Bird Count, and Patrick Cummins, executive director of Audubon Connecticut, and the other volunteers.
There's no listener-supported community radio without listener support. Donate online at WESUFM.org.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Hey, Patrick.
How have you been?
Okay.
Do you need a menu, sir?
No, actually, do you have poached eggs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would
you like some coffee? Yes, please. Actually, I'll get the Eggs Benedict.
And do you want home fries?
Yes.
Alrighty. Is this all on check or separate?
And an orange.
Separate.
Large orange juice, too, please.
Okay.
I wish I could afford to buy you all breakfast.
Oh, likewise.
So what's the news in Birdland?
No, I heard.
What's occupying our attentions?
The economy.
Yeah, right.
We have reserves, so it won't be a crisis. But a lot of nonprofits are going to be in trouble with this, the timing of this stock market decline. Particularly being an end of year, a combination of the change in the tax law where many people are not going to be able to deduct charitable deductions anymore, and the worst week on the stock market since 2008. Mm-hmm. And to make it worse, at the time of year when people are normally giving, I mean, this is the most important time of year for contributions. And everybody's seeing their 401k and decline and any of their personal holdings. And on top of that, the people who make their money on Wall Street, unless they were shorting it, probably didn't have the best years.
Hey,
hi.
Hey. I'm Maria.
I'm Steph.
Nice to meet you.
How you doing? Hey, Shorty.
You want coffee?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Stephen works for National Audubon.
Oh, wow.
Which has an office at Stratford Point.
Okay. Well,
he works for us as well.
Both organizations, Audubon across the board.
I was just getting the update on what are we interested in Birdland these days. And Patrick was talking about the economy being a problem. But in terms of the birds, are things better, worse, same as last year in terms of their...
Different than last year,
different.
For sure. Yeah, there are a lot more finches around this year. There's an invasion of pine siskins. We might have some red poles. Hopefully we'll have some red poles today. They're a relative of goldfinches. There's been evening grosbeaks, which is very exciting and unusual.
Excuse me for leaning over.
About the most spectacular bird out there.
Wait, what is the most spectacular bird out there?
Evening grosbeaks. Very, very cool bird. And there were razorbills, which is also would be exciting. I'd be thrilled to see a razorbill.
I saw a gannet yesterday.
What was that duck that had us all possessed 2 years ago?
On the count?
Yeah.
The Eurasian widgeon?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. The Eurasian widgeon.
Hans.
Hans, the Eurasian widgeon.
Another big piece of news is there's been a tufted duck.
Tufted duck.
In Bridgeport and Fairfield. Female. Been hanging out at Captain's Cove. That's a bird from Europe or Asia.
Wow. Just one.
Yeah.
And I think this
same individual bird
has been coming back to the same area for 4 years now, since 2014.
I think there was 1 year that it wasn't seen. Tina found it 1 year, and then found it last winter, and now this winter.
How do we know it was the same one?
It's presumed.
Yeah.
It's a female. It's an adult female.
Okay.
It's a pretty rare bird.
Same plumage. It's got the same length of tuft. Same exact place it shows up each time.
Only a handful of records in the state. So to think that it's a different bird that's
would
been coming
be
back.
A weird coincidence.
Exactly, yeah.
It had been a long time since we'd seen a tufted duck in Connecticut. The last one I remember was probably 20 years ago.
Which part of Connecticut is the most prolific with birds?
Probably right here.
Really? This is the hot spot.
Well, generally coastal areas, but not necessarily. It depends on what bird you're talking about. You know.
Just generally speaking.
And Stratford probably has the highest list.
Well, hey, Manasset's good too.
Yeah.
Madison.
I was telling Frank that I had seen that barred owl I told you about in the email. He knew exactly where we saw it. He practically gave it a name.
Yeah, it's been hanging. Barred owls have undergone a migration of some sort this fall. They're normally bird of the wooded swamps, deciduous swamps. Here they've been showing up along the coast, you know, a little tiny woodlot near the coast, here, there, wherever. So why they moved, I don't know how far south they're going or how far they're going. But they're showing up in places you don't normally find them this fall and winter, and that's one of them.
Okay.
I mean, you don't normally find barred owls at Kamenas because it's so near the coast. But I've got one staked out in our area. Hopefully we'll see it today.
Oh, good.
In fact.
Okay, so that, assuming it's the same individual, was originally found when we were doing our big sit. So sit in a 15-foot area all day long, count as many species of birds as possible.
You call this the big sit?
It's the big sit.
And where do you do this?
So I did it this year over at Stratford Point, on top of the garage with a couple friends. And
on top of a garage?
Yeah. It was... ankles hurt a little bit after a while from the pitch, but
it's a bit hike.
Yeah,
see farther.
Wow,
yeah, it's just a great perspective advantage.
Did you see surprising birds?
Barred owl.
Yeah, barred the barred owl. That's probably the species of owl that I would expect the least there.
Well, that brings me to global warming. Is it real and affecting our birds?
Well, the climate scientists certainly have consensus that it's real, and there are effects. There are ranges that have been changing. Now, they've done an analysis of Christmas bird counts and breeding bird survey data, and birds are moving northwards. And
or up mountains.
Right.
Higher up elevation, where it's cooler.
Should we be
giant
alarmed?
Well, the general consensus is probably yes. You know, especially
melting ice caps doesn't help. right, rising sea level.
I was just going to say, hello. Especially the right. rising sea level.
By your binoculars, I can yeah. guess why you're here.
Ryan McClain.
Hi,
Maria.
Nice work for Audubon.
Work for Audubon, Connecticut, down in Greenwich.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Ryan and I have known each other for 15 years now. Met at Audubon.
You want coffee?
Sure, thank you.
Do you need a menu?
So no, going back to the should be worried.
Yeah.
We should be aware and realize that it is happening. Absolutely. There's no question about it. And the data that that we're able to get from these counts will show that.
I'm thinking I'm going to go to the foot of Cove Place, Russian Beach, and do some sea watching from there. You guys want to join me or go to Stafford Point and do the same? Or?
I wouldn't mind all sticking together.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
Are you planning to stay all day? Or?
I have a haircut appointment at 10:30. So if I leave by 9:30, I'll make it.
Okay.
And I think I can do this for a couple hours.
What did you see, Frank, that made you pull over?
Back here was I saw a large bird flying over that wasn't a gull the way it was flying. I thought it was a hawk, and it was. It was a northern harrier. There were seven red-breasted mergs flew over going into the pond there.
Mergs.
Mergansers. Mergs for short.
Wonder if the long-eared owl is still there.
Not too far away.
Yeah. The other day we had a barred owl in the pines near Stratford Point.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Cove Place first, where there's more of a 180 degree view of the sound than at Stratford Point, in case something's flying. Some of those alcids are flying.
Alcids?
Alcids is a group of birds that include the puffins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Puffins, razorbill, dovekie, yeah. Guillemot.
There have been a few reports of snowy owls this year around.
But yeah, there was one at Montauk.
Somebody said they had a white owl in a parking lot in New Haven.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did you hear that?
Somebody had made a comment on one of our Facebook posts.
Can you always believe these people?
No, not always.
One thing I've seen over the years is people misidentifying red-tailed hawks along the roadside as snowy owls.
Really?
Especially when there's snow on the ground. A red-tailed hawk is basically a light colored breast.
Yeah.
And it's a big, bulky bird of prey. Especially when there's snow on the ground and the snow's reflecting the bright sunlight, it really makes that bird look white, the front of the bird look white. And they're driving by on a highway or something, they say, my God, look at that big white bird. It's got to be a snowy owl.
Occasionally there are albino or leucistic red-tailed hawks.
That's interesting.
Beautiful sunrise.
Beautiful.
So that we're going to start at the foot of this street here. That day I came by, the barred owl was sitting eye level right in the pine, right on the edge, yeah, on a cold, windy day. We're going to walk down to the back of the street.
Okay.
So take what you need. Yep. You.
Do you look forward to this all year, Patrick?
Yeah. Never know what you're going to find. It's fun to get them.
Oh, this is beautiful. Oh my gosh.
To watch sunrise.
You're listening to a report from the Christmas Bird Count. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from WESU 88.1 FM Middletown. Providing community radio that matters. Did you see anything? Did you find your owl?
No, unfortunately. But he could very well be in there.
Yeah.
They're masters of camouflage.
Are they? Just like you.
Like what you hear on WESU 88.1 FM? Consider making a donation. WESU is an independent, non-commercial station that relies on the generosity of listeners like you. You can donate online at WESUFM.org or by mailing a check to our Broad Street address, which you can find on our website. Thank you again to our listeners for keeping us alive and thriving on the airwaves since 1939. We appreciate your support.
Six yesterday. They're just in front of those gulls, those few gulls.
What are they?
Black-bellied plovers, type plovers, of shorebird. Yeah.
I've got, I think I have female black scoter.
Yeah. Sitting?
Sitting, yeah.
Take a peek?
Sure. In the back.
What is it?
A female black scoter, a sea duck.
How are you recording these?
Well, I'm going to put them on eBird. I normally used to do them with pen and paper, but I do the eBird app. I enter the location for some reason. Not accepting. 16 Brant.
What are they?
Brant geese.
They're pretty.
The wind is supposed to increase too, so early morning before the seas get too rough, or it'd be easier to spot stuff out there.
Yeah.
Another reason I wanted a sea watch. You want to take a look at this common eider when it comes up.
Okay.
Probably lower this a little for you.
Black duck, did you get those?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it just dove. Oh.
They open their wings when they dive.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And
female
I think...
golden eye flying ray.
How many?
One female.
In among these rocks at low tide are, what I'm told, is an abundant crab, an invasive, non-native crab,
okay.
The Asian shore crab. Sometimes you'll see fishermen down there with their pail, flipping stones over, filling their bucket with these little crabs.
Wow.
For bait.
Oh.
But the loons and the sea ducks like to eat them too. So yesterday, I'll show you pictures of the surf. The surf was crashing over this bluff here during high tide. And that's probably what's attracting these eiders. I think they're feeding on those crabs too. They'll go wherever they can find a reliable food source.
You know, if I put a particular new food in my feeder, somebody finds it and then spreads the word among his friends? I mean, how does that work?
Generally, if birds are flying over or they're in the neighborhood and they hear other birds calling and chattering and stuff, that can attract them.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to a specific type of seed, but the sounds of birds will attract other birds.
Okay.
Might be migrating over or something. Yeah.
Rubbernecking.
Yeah.
A flock of something.
Long-tailed ducks.
Oh, I was going to say.
8 of them. They're flying west, east, but then turned around and went west again.
I'm going to see what's going on over here.
I saw you guys pull over to the side of the road.
Yeah.
Frank jumped out. Was that a Harrier?
Yes.
Okay, great.
How did you know?
I caught a glimpse of it. Yeah.
I was going to say.
I've been counting hawks for 13 years or so.
You're not that old.
I know. I started young.
When did you start birding?
Probably about 13, I would say. And that's when Ryan and I originally met. Over at Audubon Greenwich, and we were actually met on an owl prowl. So it's very fitting that we're here looking for more owls.
Let me ask you.
Sure.
Because, you know, this is probably not the coolest endeavor among your age group back then or now. So were you considered kind of nerdy and odd?
By myself more than anything. I think I was a little self-conscious of my hobby and lost interest in birding as a whole for you know, the high school days, and then picked
had
it right
other
back
interests
up again. Yeah, exactly, skateboarding and hanging out with friends, I guess. But no, it's always been a passion of mine, just wildlife in general, and I'm lucky enough to do it for a living, so
it's a beautiful thing.
It sure is. Yeah, not everybody could be as lucky.
Really, it's true.
Yeah.
I'll follow you.
Okay, great.
Dedicated.
Yeah, he's determined, man. He's gonna find that owl.
I have a possible razorbill way out, flying right. Don't have much more to give you, right? Single. I don't think it's a razorbill, sorry, I zoomed in on it. It's a long tail, sorry.
Alright.
I saw 8 swans a swimming and 6 geese a laying.
Another red throated moon coming right. Left of center out here. Close. A thinner neck than a common loon, and they'll often raise and lower their neck as they fly.
Whereas, why?
I don't know. It's just their behavior. Feel that wind picking up already. Saying west northwest at one up to 25 miles an hour later. So.
So here's a big existential question.
Yep.
Why do you suppose there's so many different kinds of a given species?
What do you mean?
I mean, there's just so many kinds.
Yeah, well, it's diversity.
Over 100 million years birds have been around, so a lot of time to radiate and adapt, fill new niches. Common loon.
Dinosaurs aren't really extinct because birds are dinosaurs and they're everywhere.
Yeah. It's so cool.
That's originally the first thing that got me into birds was the fact that they're dinosaurs, and that was just intriguing to me.
Yeah. Because little boys love dinosaurs.
Oh. Yeah. Who doesn't, right?
Now that I am one myself.
Yeah, no, they're fantastic.
If you're just joining us, this is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from the 2018 Christmas Bird Count. Here with Frank Mantlick, counting birds of all kinds, of many kinds, at, where are we, Frank?
Is this Russian Beach in Stratford?
At Russian Beach in Stratford. This is Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, providing community radio that matters. Back in a moment with more.
This is Arch Doty, who built and put on the air Wesleyan's first radio station in 1939. After more than 70 years, I'm still supporting WESU, and I hope that you, too, will help to keep the voice of Wesleyan University loud and clear. Please make your donation to support your station now.
Thank you so much, Arch. You can make that donation online right now at WESUFM.org/pledge.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
Technology must have really changed the experience, huh?
Yeah, 'cause it used to be there was like a phone tree.
where people, if there was a rare bird. I remember one time I went to on a whale watch in Rhode Island and got back home and found out that somebody had left a message that there was a Mongolian plover that had been seen in Rhode Island, and I drove right by it twice that day and didn't know about it because
didn't have cell phones. Now you can get a text message.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, there used to be a line you'd call, and there was like an answer machine, and it would have a recording of the rare bird alert.
But by the time you got the message, it was...
Yeah, it came out like once a week unless there was something special. But there used to be phone trees where people would call and say, oh, we have a dove key at Stratford Point. And then the word would get out, and, you know, you'd have a list of people you're supposed to call, and then they're supposed to call people, so...
That's kind of communal.
Yeah. Do you have a field guide with you all the time if you have your phone and you've got the... all the calls and got access to the internet almost all the time.
What about the technology in the binoculars and the scopes?
The technology is getting better, and good. You can get good scopes and binoculars for less than you used to be able to. Yeah.
And cameras that can shoot.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. For under $500, you can get a camera that can zoom up to, like, you know, 65x and zoom in digitally to 100x. So.
Right.
Red throated loon, real close to shore, right here. Up, just dove. It was about 20 yards offshore.
I saw him. Come back.
The golden eye going right.
Boy, they can stay underwater a long time.
They sure can.
And they can go a really long ways, too.
They're like seals.
Yeah, let's go hit up Stratford Point. We will catch up with you.
Yeah, okay. What's our plan, Frank?
Well, we're going to stay here.
Okay.
Some more and sea watch some more. And back to the car, we'll look for that owl, hopefully.
Okie doke.
We're gonna spread the wealth here.
Yeah.
We'll sea watch and from Stratford Point, which is just to the east of us.
Right.
Stefan got all excited. He saw what he described might have been a dove key, which, like I said, I've never seen one in Connecticut in over 40 years.
Wow.
Of birding. But that storm obviously brought some stuff in. Maybe you want to look at these surf scoters here. That group of dark ducks out here. The males have white on the back of the head. Hunters call them skunk heads. Black with... Can you see them?
Oh my gosh. They look to be largely males.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see one, two females. And
those are
four
surf
males. Wow. What are they again?
Surf scoters.
Surf scoters. They are so elegant. Oh, just dove. So great. Thank you.
You're welcome. They were close enough and stay in the float to get a look at. So.
You guys, it's a wonder you don't have neck issues, the way you're always scanning the sky. Is that an occupational hazard?
No.
No? There goes our sun.
Stefan got all excited. Get on that bird all the way over to the left.
Yeah. Well, that's why you all kind of recalibrated.
Well, he was thinking it was definitely an alcid.
Yeah.
And from his description, small, and it's possible it was a dove key.
Wow. So when it's not certain, how do you...
Well, it goes down as an alcid species.
Okay.
See, pretty confident it was an alcid, but didn't get a good enough look to be sure of the species.
Are cloudy days better?
Well, actually, this is ideal viewing for scoping. If it was clear, the sun glare would be right in our eye, yeah. You know. So bright overcast like this is ideal for looking out over the Sound, mm-hmm. You know, bodies of water. It's nice even lighting.
Yeah.
You know, anything going by, you could see. Whereas
it's dark.
If it was sunny, you'd be fighting the glare. So four Canada geese coming across the Sound, probably from Long Island. See him right under the sun now.
Yeah. They're pretty common.
Yes.
Not to take anything away from them.
No, we'll see a lot on the golf course at Short Beach. There have been several hundred there lately. Long-tailed ducks. Another loon. It's definitely a lot of birds flying out there, water birds, seabirds.
More than usual.
Probably after that storm, they probably got blown into places, and now they're reorienting, trying to find food. Like, there's a young blackback gull, great blackback gull. That's the largest gull in the world.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's that species.
Big.
There's a ringbill gull. It's pretty with the sun. Let's take a picture. Stand here, we'll take a selfie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, but that sunrise is kind of bright.
Should have done my hair appointment first.
Common loon in the water. Halfway to the horizon.
Yeah. So this term common this and common that, are they indeed common? Or
Yeah, common loons are. A lot of birds going that way, though most of them are long-tailed ducks, which are gorgeous birds. The only duck you'll see out here with a black body and an all-white head. And a long, thin tail, like a pintail.
Wow.
The male, anyway, has that.
Will I see those?
Oh, here, it's this flock.
Oh, what is it?
More long-tailed ducks.
Oh.
State 10, 12, 13, 14. I'm a group before. More. 14. 18, 20, 22, 23, maybe about 30 more.
Wow. What are these guys here bobbing along?
The dark ones are the common scoters.
Okay.
The clouds up here right at the sun. Not in my scope. Doesn't look like a goose. It is a cormorant.
All by its lonesome?
Yeah. Behind that gull. It's like a great cormorant. Which are ones that nest farther north, like way up in Newfoundland and Labrador. They come down here for the winter. There's surf scoter going left way out there. Ryan and Patrick saw one or two white-winged scoters flying earlier, and Ryan also saw one black scoter out there, which I glanced at in his scope. So the tide's coming in. I think it's probably mid-tide now. It's supposed to be high, I think, about 10:45.
We've been out about an hour. Have you seen a good quota of birds for that amount of time?
Yeah. This just never know what you're going to find, especially after a storm.
Do you go out every day?
I'm birding every day, yeah, pretty much.
feather flock together.
That's true. Sometimes different species will flock together too, either in, you know, migrating or feeding.
They find a place where there's a food source.
Is it true that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush? Am I getting punchy already?
I don't know what that phrase means, to be honest with you. I don't know how that came to be, that phrase.
I think it must mean better to have something now than wait for it.
I guess.
Later?
Is that how you interpret it?
Yeah.
The loon flying left above the horizon. Another common loon, looks like.
That's
a black, great blackback gull.
Yeah, the big one that you mentioned, yeah. So the loon is famous from On Golden Pond.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, the loon! The call of the loon, right?
Yes.
Well.
You do a very good Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah, thanks.
Can you do a loon?
Not well. I won't embarrass
you. You know your limitations.
Yeah.
Ooh. Very good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I love this light right
Me
now.
Too.
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Well, why don't we walk the beach?
Okay.
Keep an eye out for more stuff flying by. And then we walk back to the car. We'll look for other birds.
This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith.
Pardon?
Today, an episode for the birds. Coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU, 88.1 FM, Middletown, providing community radio that matters. Back in a moment with more from the 2018 Christmas Bird Count. Oh no, you lost your hat. Yes.
If you listen to WESU and you've heard us asking for your support over the last month, why not help us out? How many times do we have to ask? What's it going to take to get through to you? Don't just listen. Become radioactive. Make your donation today at WESUFM.org/pledge.
Hey, the black-bellied plovers are just up ahead.
Oh.
Smaller birds.
Oh,
to the right of that,
yes, I
to
do.
The right of that gull there.
Oh.
A flock of six of them picking in the as the waves come in, they're picking in the seaweed.
The piping plovers were endangered. Are they still?
They're threatened still, yeah.
Are they?
These will probably be the only ones found on this count.
Really?
And maybe, I don't know if any of the other counts have recorded black-bellied plover.
Can you shoot them? I mean, with your camera.
I did the other day.
Oh, you did?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can get a shot.
Oh, so sweet! What is the relationship of birders to hunters? Do you get along?
Yeah, generally I'd say so.
Light up here.
Oh my gosh. So cute.
Yeah, this other related to piping plover. Now, when they fly, they'll have, if they could fly or raise their wing, they'll have black under their wingtips.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, they are adorable.
Six years.
Adorable probably isn't a word that you real birders use.
So, I personally don't hunt. I tried hunting once for grouse and was unsuccessful, but I have birder friends who are also hunters.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Complicated people.
Yeah, well, they grew up like their fathers hunted and their grandfathers hunted, so something they always did in their family, and as long as they eat what they shoot,
right,
that's fine. And in fact, there's hunters historically have preserved a lot of land because the taxes on, I think it was a mourning dove.
Oh, usually you see those in pairs, don't you?
Yeah. The tax on firearms and ammunition has gone, and fees for refuge, duck stamps and things has gone to preserve a lot of land. So while hunters get a bad rap, historically, at least the last 100 years or so, their funds have gone to preserve public lands for wildlife. Whereas all us bird watchers, we don't pay any such taxes or hunting fees, so we enjoy the fruits of wildlife, but you know, many birders belong to environmental organizations and their contributions to like the Nature Conservancy. We preserve land too that way. Mm-hmm. I think if we can get up here,
okay,
maybe we'll walk back. There's a turf-coated male flying here.
Oh, I see.
Took off from this flock here. This wind blowing east, these birds are drifting, and they'll get up and fly back to where they were because that's where the food was.
When you go on vacation, Frank, is it typically to places with cool birds?
Yeah, often. I'm lucky in being retired. I retired 7 years ago now. I do some bird guiding with Sunrise Birding, a tour company based out of Connecticut.
Oh, where do you go?
I pretty much go to Costa Rica every year. So next month, February, I'll be leading a tour to Costa Rica.
Wow!
I just got back early November from a cruise to the Falkland Islands.
Sure, wow.
Off the southern tip of South America.
Yes.
Here's the black-bellied plovers again.
Oh, yeah.
See the black on the underwing?
Oh, my gosh, they're so great. They've got little black armpits.
Little black, there goes the sixth.
Now, you're not counting them because you've already counted them.
Yeah, six of them, yeah. That was a fabulous trip. I got to see my first penguins, first wild penguins.
Wow.
I saw 5 species and 4 species of albatross.
Wow.
Including the one wandering albatross, which has the largest wingspan of any bird in the world.
How large?
11 and a half feet one wingspan.
Oh my gosh, I can't even
imagine that.
Imagine. That's truly like a dinosaur.
Anyways, so I've been to South America before, but never as far south as southern Argentina and the Falkland. So I saw 65 new species that I'd not seen before.
Can anybody go on your trips?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
How should they pursue it if they were interested? Is there a website?
There's a website, www.sunrisebirding.com.
Are you booked up for this February trip?
Yes, yeah, we have a full group for the Costa Rica trip.
And then where do you go?
That's the only tour I'm scheduled to lead in the near future. But the company offers many tours all over the world and in North America as well. So the whole schedule's on the website.
Kind of a busman's holiday for you.
Yeah. And when I'm not traveling internationally, in spring and fall migration, I lead local walks, both for Sunrise Birding, as well as New Haven Bird Club, and other, you know, Audubon chapters, Connecticut Audubon at Milford Point, things like that.
Wow.
Usually spring and fall. We're scrambling down the beach here, sidestepping cobblestones.
Really? Can't look for birds when we're trying not to trip.
We'll head back up the bluff here.
Okay.
About 17 Brent.
Wow.
Most of the birds, ducks, have been going left. These are going right.
Republicans.
Got all kinds of text messages.
Oh, what's the news?
Corey with her wild young birders were trying to find us. I guess she saw my car but didn't see us. It was like we're going to get a little rain shower.
I feel it. Spitting. Is that good for birding?
In
rain, a way?
Well, not necessarily rain, but winds are often good for blowing things in. Two more common golden eyes going right. Females. You can see the fog out there. That's probably rain out there too. So let's head back towards the car.
I hear Goldeneye. I think of that James Bond movie.
Oh.
What about our owl?
We're gonna go look for it. We're gonna sneak in here.
Okay. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith. Being really quiet as we scan a little woodlot. This is... Oh! Yeah! I saw him! He's big and beige. That's amazing. Wait. Oh my gosh.
His favorite pine tree.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Hello. You're beautiful. You're a beautiful bird. Do you have any idea? Wow. That barred owl has my heart.
It was quite alert too.
Yeah.
It flew and then it was keeping an eye on us.
Yeah, I feel like we had a moment of clarity and understanding.
I bonded with.
It was a spiritual experience.
That's it.
Oh, I don't think I'm kidding.
I remember, when I saw my first owls. And it's just you and the bird, and they're looking at each other, and it's hooting back at me. And
do the hoot. Do it again.
Which Roger Torrey Peterson described the hoot as though it's saying, "Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all?"
Frank, I want to thank you so much.
Oh.
Again, this was really...
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you along, Maria, and glad we got to see a few things, and hopefully it was worth an early wake-up to come join us.
Absolutely. More than worth it. Hey, Frank. Welcome
Hello.
Back. Back into the indoors, out of the cold.
Yeah.
How long were you out there yesterday?
Well, as I told you, I started at 4 a.m. to look for owls, and I finally headed for home at about 5:30 p.m.
Wow, it's dark at 5:30.
Yep.
Well, was it worth it?
Oh, certainly.
I have an email here with the results, but I haven't read them yet, so why don't you tell me what's the news? Any news here?
Well, all I can tell you is how we made out in our territory,
okay,
of which there are 12 territories, I believe, in this count circle. And
Wait, drum roll. Go ahead.
In our area, cumulatively, we had 76 species of birds, which is pretty darn good for a relatively small area.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through the email now. Goodness. I'm going to post the list on the reasonablycatholic.com site for people to see just how many different species are just living among us, obscurely often.
Yeah, right.
You know? Wow. Well, for you, what was the highlight?
Well, two highlights that I can think of. Yeah. I enjoy sea watching, or in our case, Long Island sound watching.
Right.
To see sea ducks and maybe seabirds and things and loons. So I got my fill of that yesterday. We've probably spent a good 2 hours at least or more looking at what's out on the sound and or flying by. The other highlight was the last bird of the day that I had. I actually went into an adjacent territory just at sunset. One of the few places in the entire state that is home to boat-tailed grackles, which are a salt marsh species. And sometimes they're here in the winter and sometimes they're not. Huh. They do nest in Stratford. And there's been no reports of any since about August or early September. Like after they were done nesting, they depart.
Yeah.
So I just played a hunch and went to Access Road, where sometimes in past winters they've come in for the night to roost in the Phragmites reed grasses. And not knowing if I'd have any luck, I waited and waited and waited. And finally at 4:40 p.m., well, after sunset, a flock of 28 boat-tailed grackles flew in.
What?
And first in a tree, and then they... So I got a picture of them in the tree, and I got another picture of them in flight.
Oh, you must email those to me so I can post them.
Yeah. So right after they appeared, there was also a flock of European starlings flying around, getting ready to roost for the night.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, a peregrine falcon appeared in that flock and picked off a starling for dinner.
Oh, wow. Oh.
That was quite an exciting 2 minutes.
I was
going to
say, it's like the fireworks finale.
Yeah.
Well, is that when you said, okay, it's not going to get any better than this, I'm calling it a day?
Pretty much, yeah. I did hang out for 10 or 15 minutes more in hopes that an owl might appear, a snowy owl or a short-eared owl. Or great horn, but no such luck.
Well, I'm sure I don't have to tell you what the highlight was for me.
The barred owl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a moment of spiritual communion.
Yeah, I couldn't pull you away from it.
No, you were like, come on, come on, come on. Wow.
So did you interview the owl while you were communing?
No, only silently. They are arresting, you know. Their eyes are dark and they're looking at you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was special. And what was nice, too, is that the young high school gal, Nivea,
yeah,
who's a wildlife guard in Bridgeport, I think this was probably her first Christmas bird count.
Yeah.
And Corey told me that this was the first owl she'd ever seen.
Wow.
Nivea. So we were happy for her too.
It was a beautiful morning for me. It really was. It just kind of resonated through the whole rest of the day.
It was wonderful.
Really, really nice. Well, I look forward to next year's bird count, and I congratulate you on your diligence and your passion for this beautiful, peaceful way to begin the new year, you know? It's a beautiful thing.
It was a pleasure having you along as well, Maria, and great visiting with you.
Yeah, we had fun. Thank you, Frank Mantlick. Talk to you again next year.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
You too. Bye now. Bye-bye. That was our third annual New Year's episode focusing on the National Audubon Society's Christmas Bird Count. If you missed any of the episode or want to share it with friends, you can find it posted later at reasonablycatholic.com. I'm Maria Johnson. Thanks for listening. And also thanks for donating to the station that brings you such unusual programming during this, our fall-winter pledge drive. You can go to wesufm.org/pledge. Or mail a check to WESU, 45 Broad Street, Middletown, Connecticut, 06457.
Thanks so much. Now stay tuned for the Jive at 5, followed by Wonderland with DJ Cheshire Cat.